The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Ger Herbert, motoring editor of the Sunday Independent. Ger, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we're going to look at the motoring landscape for the year ahead, but first of all, we're going to look backwards at the registrations for last year, and it was kind of even Steven in terms of new car registrations.
It was indeed, Pat. There was a 1% decrease from 2023, but not, I suppose, that isn't a huge amount. I suppose in terms of the economy, the good news was light commercial vehicles and heavy goods vehicles were up. Used imports were also up by 20%, so quite a substantial increase there. In terms of market share by engine type, the interesting thing is, Pat, petrol and diesel market share hasn't shifted in 2 years. It's kind of stuck at 53%. But what has moved is the electric car. The pure electric car share was over 18% in 2023. That fell to 14% in 2024. Now, that 4% difference was equally distributed between hybrid and plug-in hybrid. So hybrid grew their market share from 18% up to 20%, or nearly 21%, yeah. And plug-in hybrid from 8%.
So the lesson there, Ger, is that people who drive electric want to stay electric. So if your hybrid and all the Toyota fleet bar one electric are now hybrid, for example, so you're driving smoothly as you get, that's the electric experience you get, and you get that with the plug-in hybrid when you're on the hybrid mode. People like the experience, so they don't want to go back to petrol and diesel if they've driven electric.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think where hybrids are really winning is just that affordability. They're seen as a more affordable compromise between, I suppose, if you want to move away from petrol and diesel but don't want to move to all electric. They're more practical for some people. And I suppose that the charging infrastructure is still an issue for people going completely EV. But it's interesting how that shift is, they're kind of moving between those three different car types. But that petrol and diesel, you know, that core market of 53%, it's interesting to see what will it take for them to move.
Yeah. Now, transmission, and we see that automatic transmission dominates, but you can understand that because all the hybrids are by definition automatic.
Absolutely. So it's gone up to 66% now, and that is only likely to grow, as you say, because of electric cars and plug-in hybrids and hybrids all being automatic. That is where the market is moving, really.
What kind of body types are popular? Are we SUV? Are we hatchback fans? Are we saloon car fans?
It's hatchbacks, number one, and SUVs. Now, I wonder about the definition of hatchbacks. So if you look at sort of the top sellers, the only hatchback in the top five really is the Skoda Octavia. So I'm not sure how they kind of classify those, but definitely SUVs and hatchbacks dominate the market.
Okay, and the colour?
Colour is grey.
Grey.
We really are, yeah. Well, it's been grey for years, which just, I don't know what it says about us, really. We're certainly conservative when it comes to car colour.
In terms of the brands, who are the winners?
Yeah, again, no great change here or no great surprise. Top five car brands are Toyota, Volkswagen, Skoda, Hyundai and Kia. The best-selling car was the Hyundai Tucson. And the top five models, obviously the Tucson, Skoda Octavia, Kia Sportage, Toyota RAV4 and Toyota Yaris Cross. So a very strong year for Toyota.
And the best-selling car?
The Hyundai Tucson. In terms of EV brands, it was Tesla, Volkswagen, Kia, Hyundai and BYD. And in terms of EV models, the Tesla Model 3 was the best-selling, followed by the Volkswagen ID.4, the Tesla Model Y, the Kia EV6 and the Hyundai Kona.
Now, looking ahead to 2025, which we're in the early days of, and there are a few things on the horizon. For example, Stellantis, I was reading that they are in somewhat of a disarray at the moment.
Yeah, so Stellantis are basically the fourth biggest car maker in terms of sales. And just to show what a sort of powerhouse they are, they issued a 25% year-on-year dip, the profit warning and a sales dip in sales in September. And this caused the entire EU car market to fall by 3%. So they're a hugely important car maker. They actually represent 14 different brands. Now, they were formed in 2021 and the CEO was Carlos Tavares. He went quite abruptly on the 1st of December, and this was 2 months after a very stark profit warning. He also, it appears, would have disagreed quite considerably with the board. So the big issue now is who will be his successor and what will they do? I mean, they have, as I said, 14 brands. They have very ambitious EV targets. Will these be scaled back? So I think there's a very long to-do list for the new CEO, definitely.
Now, in terms of what the EU does, I mean, its middle name is regulation. What more stringent regulations are coming down the track for the automotive industry?
Yes, so there's very tightening CO2 emission regulations for 2025, and failure to comply with these could incur fines of up to 13 billion. Now, essentially what this means for car makers is they have to produce more EVs or they have to produce more hybrids, but they have to bring down that overall average share of CO2 emissions. Now, one of the options for car makers, though, Pat, is to there is a pooling flexibility. So high emission car makers can pool their CO2 emissions with other car makers. So, for example, Volkswagen and Ford would have the biggest reduction to make. So Volkswagen could pool with Tesla, or Ford could pool with Volvo cars, and that would reduce the share of EVs that they would have to produce and take some of the pressure off them. Whether or not they'll do that, we don't know. But, I mean, it is going to have a huge impact on the car market in terms of the number of EVs that will come on sale. And also prices for ICE cars, you know, for petrol and diesel, I would imagine will increase because they're going to try and persuade people to buy more EVs.
Now, talk to me about the impact of the Chinese on the market. And we know that there are talks still ongoing to try to avoid punitive tariffs on Chinese-made cars, some of which, of course, are sold as European cars in the European market. Not many people know whether their car is made in China or not. What's the situation there?
Yeah, so that definitely complicates the matter, Pat. So essentially, the EU formally imposed new import tariffs on Chinese EVs on October the 30th, 2024. Now, these tariffs ranged from sort of 8% up to 35%, and they're on top of the existing 10% base import duty on cars. Now, obviously, a lot of the Chinese car makers, the reason for this was that the EU felt that there was a substantial price advantage that Chinese brands were enjoying over the European cars, and this was due to state subsidised production and low labour costs. So the idea is that this will sort of, you know, address that balance that they are, that advantage that they have. But the problem, of course, is that they can absorb a lot of these increases. Now, as you say, there are car makers like BMW, Mini and Volkswagen who actually produce Chinese-built EVs. They sell Chinese-built EVs in Europe. They're also subject to the tariffs. Now, they are much less likely to absorb those costs, and it's much more likely they're going to pass those on to European car makers. So you would have to wonder about, you know, how effective this is going to be. Now, negotiations are ongoing between the EU and Chinese authorities. So it may, you know, this may come to nothing in the end. This may be resolved quite quickly because the Chinese have already said that they're going to impose tariffs on certain EU-made luxury cars. So just, nobody wants this sort of price war. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But the impact of it is hard to kind of gauge at the moment.
Now, the question of Chinese actually coming into Europe to manufacture in Europe to avoid EU tariffs, that's one way of doing it. But what about Europeans taking advantage of the burgeoning Chinese market for private vehicles and building their own factories there, which, as you've mentioned, BMW and with Mini and their own brand have already done, and VW?
Yeah, they can. The problem, I suppose, with that at the moment is there was the, like, when they were building cars in China and selling in China to a buoyant market, that was, you know, made sense. But the Chinese market has moved very much towards home brands as well, and European car makers are not faring as well. Now, if they're not, you know, selling as many cars in China and then they're being getting these tariffs imposed in Europe, again, you'd wonder how long, you know, building in China is going to be a useful sort of sales strategy. So, as I said, we'll have to see what happens.
Finally, the question of a weight tax on heavier cars. Is that likely at all?
Yeah, this is a discussion that is ongoing. So at the end of 2024, Geneva residents voted to introduce tax on electric vehicles. So this is continuing, and it has, in some of, like Paris had the same discussion, Norway and France have weight taxes. So I think there is talk around this. What the EU will do is questionable, but definitely there's a move towards lighter vehicles just in terms of benefiting the environment and reducing the strain on roads and just conserving, you know, raw materials and everything else. So I think we are going to see something in exactly what form, I don't know, but definitely car makers are looking more at, you know, the shift towards lighter vehicles for all sorts of reasons.
All right, Ger, thank you very much for that overview of what's in store for us in 2025. Ger Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.